Welcome to This Week in Craft Beer, the podcast, the weekly show where we interview the people making the magic happen in the UK craft beer scene. This Week in Craft Beer publishes the UK's leading craft beer newsletter every Monday morning by email. To subscribe for free, please visit www.thisweekincraft.beer. This Week in Craft Beer would like to thank our generous Patreon supporters, Phantom Brewing Co., Bayonet Brewing Co., Dolphin Brewery, Berkshire Beer Box, The Small Batch Brewing Co., Belgium and Blues Southampton, Doug Thayer, Robert Baker, Aid Bardi, The Brew Brothers, Paul Whelan, Bettina Cassidy, Forks Brewery, Claire Costa, James Cox, Craig Hatton, James Moss, John Mead and Craft Beerings. So, I'm delighted to welcome back to the podcast this afternoon, Anthony from Twisted Wheel. We're joined by Justin, who is the sales manager for McCann's, and I will explain the connection between McCann's and Twisted Wheel as we go through this conversation, but suffice to say that Twisted Wheel is now based in Kent, which is where we're recording live this afternoon. Ant has had a turbulent ride over the past couple of years, but recently located to the idyllic Kent countryside, joining forces with McCann's Brewery and Taproom on a hop farm in Tenterton. So, Ant and Justin, please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Ant. I'm the brewery manager here at McCann's. Yeah, obviously I've been on before, so you know my history. So, yeah, Justin.
I'm Justin. My last significant job in beer was with Jolly Good Beer.
Okay, yeah.
And now I'm sales manager for UK and Europe.
Fantastic. Well, look, welcome, guys. Thanks for welcoming me down to this beautiful little corner of the Kent countryside. We'll get into talking about that a bit more in a moment. But I think probably first to start with, let's introduce McCann's, because it's a brand and a business that I'm sure most people listening to this podcast haven't come across yet. It's pretty new. Can you give me just a quick background on McCann's to start with?
Yeah, so basically what it is, McCann's has been going about 18 months now. It was originally a subsidiary of a different brewery coming out of Folkestone in Kent. Mm-hmm. The owners at the time were approached by Ross Hewkins, who owns Hewkins Hop Farm, mm-hmm. about the old host house that he'd recently moved out of, because they built a new hop facility yep. down in the valley. So the old host house was just left there effectively to go to rack and ruin, so they approached Ross and Keith to see whether they wanted to build a tap room there. Mm. So they took it on, built a tap room. They actually bought the old dairy kit mm. when old dairy went into administration. So they put a 30 barrel kit in the old host house. Yep. So yeah, that's how it all became what it is.
And a traditional cask focused brewery, at least at that stage for McCann's, yeah.
It still is. It's yep. a very traditional cask focused brewery. Obviously, we get all the hops off the hop farm that
yeah,
we're actually sat on.
You know, a couple of hundred yards from where we're sitting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably one of the things that really attracted me to it. Mm-hmm. The fact that we are on the hop farm, mm-hmm. we can see them picking the hops.
Yeah.
We can see the hops growing. I've known Ross Hewkins for quite a few years, very knowledgeable in his mm-hmm. field. They are brilliant hops that he grows. So, yeah, the whole project just excited me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about how you ended up here. And, you know, when we last spoke 14 months ago, you just rescued the assets of Twisted Wheel from the clutches of HMRC and were, you know, in the process of trying to stand it up on its own, you know, without sort of raking over that too much. Let's just give us a quick, you know, history of how you went from there to here.
So basically, the kit I was originally brewing on was 700 litres. It was a bit small for what we wanted to do. Sharing the space also became a problem, mm. so I moved on up to North Yorkshire, which is quite well documented. Again, it didn't really work for various different factors. I then got a phone call randomly from an old employer of mine who knew Ross and Keith here,
okay.
And basically said that they needed someone to come on board to, I mean, Ross and Keith. Keith's a multi-entrepreneur. Mm. He's got a cab business, he's got a fostering company, but not really clued up on brewing as such.
Okay.
So it was more to get down here and to guide them the right path, mm-hmm. etc. So that's how I ended up here.
Fantastic. So Twisted Wheel is now based in Kent.
It is, yes.
Yeah. And you're overseeing the whole brewing operation here, not just the Twisted Wheel side, but McCann's side as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic. So Justin, talk to you about, tell me about your role. What you know, you were also a relatively recent recruit to McCann's, but what are you involved with here?
Well, I've been here a month, which is not very long at all. And I came on board because I'd known Anthony through the industry for quite a while.
Yep.
And my last employment came to an end at the end of last year. Mm. So after a short discussion, Anthony invited me to come on board with a view to really gaining a greater, well, as well as obviously selling beer, a greater footprint for both brands across the wholesale and the pub industry.
Absolutely, so, yeah.
My role is pretty broad in terms of what I'm going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And we're starting off on the 25th of May with a relaunch of both brands.
Fantastic.
So we're looking for pubs to come on board with that at the moment. And from there, we'll then expand out. We're going strictly at the independent market to start off with.
Yeah.
I'm very strong on that side of things.
Good.
Because obviously I've worked for Jolly Good Beer for quite a while.
Yeah.
And we had quite a broad distribution there from the smallest bottle shops and farm shops, etc., through to some of the larger indie pub co's.
Yeah. So, no, it's something that we care very strongly about is independence. And on this podcast, you know, this is something that, you know, we're constantly preaching. So that's great to hear. Good. All right. So let's just drill into that just a little bit, because you mentioned 25th. You know, it's a Maybank holiday weekend. What product are you expecting to have available for, you know, for people to pick up there?
We'll have the 7 core beers from Twisted Wheel, which we've just released in the last few days. So we've got Opus, which is a 4.2% pale ale.
Nice.
Then we've got Bella Vita, which is an Italian-style pilsner,
which
I'm very keen on. We've got beautiful branding for that.
Fantastic.
Real retro
thing
going on there. Then we've got Speed Wobble, which is one of, as you know, Ant's
One of his
original beers.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was actually the very first beer we brewed at Twitter.
Was it? Wow.
Yeah.
Then we've got Hoodoo Voodoo, which is a West Coast IPA.
Nice.
Which is matched at the same time by Space Hopper, which is a New England IPA, around the same strength, 1.6%, 1.6.2, but they're in the same bracket, so
nice.
Those would be nice.
Yeah.
Then we've got Purple Haze, which is a fruited sour.
Which is another beer you've been brewing for a while, and isn't
another,
it? Yeah,
exactly that. And then the last one is Sankey You're Dead,
right,
which is a Baltic Porter.
Cool.
So I'm delighted to have
A Baltic Porter myself,
No, I'm
definitely.
Really, really keen to put that into the core range, so really pleased with that one as well.
Exciting. So you're taking orders now for
so
all those beers, Justin?
Pre-orders via Cellar and eBrewer at the moment.
Fantastic.
And we've got 2 wholesale partners at the moment. We've got WDS for the Northwest, and we've got Jolly Good Beer for Anglia and the Midlands.
Brilliant.
So at the moment, I'm trying to sign up a couple more wholesalers, but I'm taking it slowly to start off with, and we'll get into that maybe a little way down the road.
Excited.
That's where we are at the moment. So we're launching, beer will be shipping the 13th of May for the 25th.
Yeah.
And like I say, hopefully we'll have plenty of pubs ready to serve the beer when it's first available.
Brilliant. You got some tap takeovers in your diary for that weekend then, have you? Or is that?
We've got one at Wigan Central.
Yeah.
Which I'll actually be attending personally.
Yeah.
I think there is a few other we've got in the diary, but obviously there's not enough.
You'll be sending Justin for those, will you?
Probably, yeah. Splitting himself through all of them, yeah.
Nice. Did that last year. I can do that again.
All right. Very good. Look, let's talk, you know, I don't think we can go any further in this conversation without talking about the location we're sitting in. So this is a pretty magical spot, isn't it, really, by anybody's standards. You know, we're deep in the Kent countryside. It took me, it took me 2 hours to drive it from Reading, so it wasn't too bad. The last 7 miles took me half an hour, basically, which is, you know, the nature of these sort of rural places, through some lovely villages, I might add. I mean, it was no hardship, but we are in a lovely corner of the sort of rolling Kent countryside, overlooking several hop fields. We're sitting in your little office, actually, which is about to become one of the glamping pods. So, you know, rather than me rambling, why don't one of you two guys give us a proper summary of the facilities and the location here?
Yeah, so as I said, the actual tap room itself and the brewery is in the old host house. So we are surrounded by hop fields. We have, at the moment, four glamping pods, which will be open second bank holiday in May.
Mm-hmm.
Two are shepherd's huts, so they are quite small. Obviously, you'll get to know one quite intimately tonight. The other two are what we called hop pickers' huts, which actually have a separate living room, bedroom and bathroom.
Yep.
So, yeah, they'll be available to rent, all with hot tubs. So the idea is, obviously, you come here, chill out, go up to the tap room. We've just finished installing the kitchen. So from the second bank holiday, there will be a full menu available.
Yep.
At the moment, we're doing pizzas, so you can still get food. But, yeah, it's it, like you say, it's a very special place.
Yeah.
We're currently still in the building process. Hopefully in about a month and a half we should have finished, because like you say, the office we're sat in now will become a glamping pod, and then the old garage will become the office, which is next to the tap room. We're also hopefully for harvest getting a 100 seater decked area,
of
basically overlooking the hop field that's directly underneath us.
So, you know, the whole site is on a kind of, you know, a gentle slope, isn't it? And so the back part of the building where the brewery is, you're building out the back of that. You sort of pointed and described it to me earlier on. It's a huge decking area that you put in place here with it. So 100 covers, so, you know, people can get a sense of the size of that.
Yeah.
And that's literally overlooking the, you know, sort of the most picturesque of the hop fields, isn't it? And as you were telling me earlier on, that's going to be floodlit. So, I can just imagine what a gorgeous kind of aspect and outlook that's going to be.
Yeah, the whole point of this actual project, etc., is, you know, taking in the surroundings we're in. So, come harvest, the idea is we're going to put a package together where you come, you stay for a night, you're up at 8 o'clock in the morning, you mash in.
Go and pick some hops.
Go down, pick some hops, have a bit of a ploughman's lunch.
Yeah.
Put your hops in a bag, drag them back up to the brewery, throw them in the copper.
Wow.
Spend the afternoon having something to eat and a drink overlooking the hop fields and all the poor hop pickers actually picking the hops while you sit there having a drink.
Yep.
You can then go back, get in your hot tub, still watching the hop pickers pick all the hops, bless them. And then 2 weeks later, we send you some cans that has the beer that you've brewed in.
Fantastic. Wow, what an experience that's going to be. Yeah, completely brilliant. What size of hop farm is this?
I couldn't tell you.
No. Well, how many fields are there?
It goes on for ages. Yeah. So you see that one over the back there, but it goes all the way further back into the valley. I have actually had my drone up there.
Okay.
And it's very expansive.
Yeah.
You'd have to speak to Ross Hukin.
It's really hard to picture it because of, you know, the fields are divided with sort of tree-lined hedges, aren't they?
Yeah.
So you can't really get a... You can't sort of oversee it, but you can kind of imagine that it goes on for a ways. Not that it matters. I mean, you know, the part of the beauty of these businesses are actually that they're quite sort of artisanal and small. I mean, obviously, there's an economy of scale. You need to be of a certain size, don't you? And obviously, this is that. But I think it's worth talking a bit more about the as you say, the old Oast House itself. I mean, I guess it's, you know, it's not hundreds of years old, is it? It's probably a couple of hundred years old, isn't it? You know, I'm not saying it was built last week, but it's not even that.
Yeah. So the only reason, every Oast House in Kent is actually listed.
Oh, okay.
The only reason we've got away with doing what we're doing is because this particular Oast House, as you can tell by the shape of it, it's American.
Yeah.
So most traditional Kent Oast Houses are just one furnace.
Yeah.
Whereas that's three.
What?
And the reason being, Hukin's had a convenient fire in the 1930s.
Oh, yes. Nudge, nudge. We
And basically, what Ross tells me is that his great-grandmother, I think it was, didn't like the fact that the Oast House was right next to their house because it meant his great-granddad was always at work. So she wanted to
move it a couple of hundred yards down the valley,
So Ross's great-granddad took the opportunity to move it forward and obviously put three furnaces in it so that he had more capacity, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, it was rebuilt in the 40s.
Oh, it's heading up towards 100 years old. But, I don't mean that in any way to be a negative. You know, it's a lovely space in there, isn't it? You know, it's been beautifully fitted out, you know, obviously, and a very significant investment of materials. It's, you know, it drips class in there. I've got a bit of a history about talking about toilets on this podcast. So I can't let that, you know, let this segment pass without saying just how nice the toilets are in your tap room. They've got beautiful historic photographs on the walls. You know, it's a unisex toilet, as is the way of things these days in tap rooms. And each of the little cubicles on both walls has got a lovely sort of, you know, I guess Victorian photographs, you know, of hop workers basically at work and at play, and just it's absolutely delightful. The main bench where the wash basins are is a beautiful old, you know, sort of distressed, is probably the right word, workbench of, you know, obviously a great heritage and got a lovely story to tell if it could tell its story. And just the whole place just has a beautiful atmosphere to it. So I think it's a special place, and, you know, I think it's going to do fantastically well as what is essentially, you know, intended to be a, you know, it's a beer destination, isn't it, really? I think what you've built here is something that really leans into the, you know, into the hop farm and the brewery, and actually bringing tourists in, you know, and an extended tourist season here in Kent, obviously, you know, and this place is going to be a lovely place to experience, I think, for people. I feel privileged to come and experience it, you know, a pre-opening kind of thing, you know, there's a lot of work going on around us, and, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a ton of stuff still to be accomplished in the next month before you're ready to start working in the public. But I do think this is going to be you know, a significant destination in the Kent tourist circuit and in the UK beer scene in general. So yes, it's fabulous.
Hopefully, yeah.
Let's talk about this first beer we're drinking, Ant. And whilst I've got no tasting notes, usually I've got my tasting notes pre-prepared, but I didn't know what beers we were going to drink today. So this is a lovely 6.2% IPA, and it's called First Something, but I forget the details.
Yeah, it's called First Light.
Yep.
So basically when we actually opened up the brewery, etc., and we decided we were bringing Twisted Wheel down here.
Yeah.
The brewery, like I say, is a 30-barrel brewery.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were still very new, the tap room was very early on, and it was the middle of winter. The least we can brew on that kit is 15-barrel.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted some big hitting beers, but we didn't want 15-barrel of it.
No.
So I came up with this idea where I'd brew a double IPA,
mm-hmm.
put half of it into a tank, and then brew the other half of it, liquor it back to a normal IPA strength.
Okay.
So that's what we did. I brewed an 8% double IPA, liquored one of the tanks back to 6.2, but hopped them the exact same. And I thought it'd be quite a talking point to put in front of people, because we do brewery tours here, and it's quite a good thing that you can put in front of people two beers that were hopped the same, that were brewed the same, but the only difference was percentage.
Nice idea.
And it's amazing the fact that most people can't even tell.
So we haven't had that. We're on the 6.2 at the moment. We've got the dipper is still in our future.
Yeah.
But this is absolutely, it's a Citra Galaxy Vic Secret, I think you told me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Great hop combination. I think Vic Secret is an underused. I mean, I love Citra and Galaxy, but I also think Vic Secret is terrific. And, you know, you don't see it that much these days. I don't,
because it's hard to get hold of.
Is it?
Yeah. So we actually use Spectrum in it as well.
Okay.
So I don't know if you know too much about Spectrum, but we've started using Spectrum in all our beers purely for a lot of its wastage reasons, but I also think
it's a liquid format of the hop.
Of the hop, but I also think it brings out more of an aroma in the beers, and I'm very impressed with the results we're getting from it.
I think this is terrific, and, you know, I guess especially as it was more or less your first brew on the kit, was it?
It was on this new kit,
which is, you know, not that I would suggest that would cause the beer not to be great, because, you know, I respect your professional brewing credentials, but nonetheless, it's still, you know, I'm sure even you would, you know, you'd acknowledge that you're going to get dialed in on the kit, aren't you? And this is a great first beer, that's for sure. That's what I'm trying to say in a roundabout way. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you're going to be brewing on this kit in 6 months' time, because this is absolutely fabulous.
Well, we'll have a walk around the brewery in a bit, and you can try some of the new beers straight out of tank.
Oh, now you're talking. The benefits of podcasting. Gents, let's take a short break. This Week in Craft Beer is sponsored by Hit Marketing Design, a design agency based in Essex offering professional marketing services across the UK. They specialise in graphic design, brand creation and web design, and can create anything from a fresh logo, new product branding, eye-catching adverts to a fully populated website. No fluff or filler, real design for a competitive world. To find out more, visit hitmarketingdesign.co.uk. So I'm back with Ant and Justin for the second half of the show. Gents, at this stage every week, I turn into Mr. Nasty, if you like, and put the guest on the spot and like to ask them a slightly tricky question. So, Ant, third time round on the podcast, I think it's about time I put you on the spot. And what I need to know is there anything you wish you'd done differently? Looking back at the last few turbulent years, Twisted Wheel, it's been a rough ride for you. You know, you brewed some great beer every chance you'd had, but nonetheless, it's been a, you know, it's been a tricky experience. I think you've come up roses now with what you're looking at ahead, but, you know, looking back, is there anything you wish you'd done differently?
Do you know what? I don't actually know how to answer that question. Well, it's my stock answer to that question would be no, because everything that's happened has led Twisted Wheel to where it is now.
Yeah.
It's
a step on the path, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, like you say, so the future is looking rosy. We actually have an investor that's keen to make it the brand it used to be and wants to be.
And plus, you know, that's a starting point. I hope it's going to get a lot further than that.
Yeah, we've got a beautiful home now. So in terms of differently, obviously there's always some beers I've brewed that I wish I hadn't, but that happens in any brewery. It's but I think, like I say, it's I could have said that I wouldn't have gone to a little brewery the size it was. I wouldn't have gone to North Yorkshire, but like I say, it's all led to the path of getting here now. So turning back the clock, would I have actually done anything differently? I don't think I would.
Good. Well, I respect that, and I think it's in your particular case, it's a rather unfair question, because you've had, you know, you could easily have said, oh, and I shouldn't have done this because that didn't work out well, and I shouldn't have done that. But actually, I respect the fact that you see it all as a journey, and I genuinely am thrilled for the future that presents itself for you here, because I think, you know, this is an unbelievable facility. You've obviously got people that are backing you and trust your expertise as a brewer, and back the quality of the beer that they know you're going to produce. So with Justin's help and the other people behind this business, I think this is an exciting time for Twisted Wheel, and people are just about to be able to get their hands on your beer much more easily than they've been able to do ever before, I suspect. So that's good news for UK craft beer, as far as I can see. Excellent. We should probably move on to talk about what you've got coming up in the next few months. So we spoke about the launch at the end of May, Justin, but what else have you got in the diary this summer that you're excited about?
Well, we've got all three We Are Beer festivals.
Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's
Bristol, Manchester, and London as well.
Awesome.
So we're really looking forward to those. I think they're the best beer festivals.
They are. No, it's no question in my mind. Yeah, I think that, you know, well, look, actually, I should probably qualify that by saying I think maybe Hop City is on that same level, but those are three of the easily three of the best five. Let's put it like that, yeah.
Yeah, I think for accessibility, there are other things like Fine Fest that we'd love to do.
Oh man, yeah, and that's on my to-do list as well. I totally agree, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for accessibility and footfall and all the other things that are important for beer
festivals, terms of the shop window, that is, you know, the footfall of those events, the professionalism of the organisation, the consistently high quality of all the beer there. It's hard to beat. I love those events. I mean, you know, and Bristol, you know, which is the first one, obviously, is a really special location as well. I mean, I know it's your home city, so you're sure it's close to your heart. But, you know, that's such a lovely place to run a beer festival, isn't it?
Oh, it is, yeah. It's amazing being down there on the harbour side.
Yeah.
And having the views and the other stuff around that, but also being part of the Bristol beer scene as well. Just for a weekend. I used to work for Moore in the city.
Oh, did you? Okay.
So I've got it's close to my heart, and we've got such a vibrant beer scene down there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the fact that festival runs literally in the sort of the epicenter of the city is quite special as well, isn't it? So, you know, you can, you know, you're just a few hundred yards from the railway station, and, you know, a couple of hundred yards from small bar, and not that far from LHG, and, you know, it's just everything is so close and easy to walk from where the festival is. I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being down there on the harbour side, is incredibly special, and it's very much in the hub of the city.
Yeah.
So there's nowhere that's very far away.
And you were saying earlier on, you've ordered a, you know, you've got your own bar that you're getting set up for that. So that's really nice, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're getting that from Morpore. So we'll have some decent dispense there. So yeah. Very much we decided early on that we didn't really want to just take Linda's to these things.
No.
Perch them on the edge of a table.
There's anything wrong with that. I mean, you know, it's lovely, but it's nice to do it in a slightly, you know, sort of bigger fashion.
Exactly right. That's it's just so much easier to pour beer for the world.
Yeah.
When you're not struggling with trying to get it pouring in the first place.
I'm still working on Keith to try and get his Land Rover.
Oh.
Keith's got a Land Rover estate. Yeah, that he's had since brand new, and it's just sat at his dad's collecting dust.
Rotting, basically, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm trying my best. He's also got a Ferrari sat in the garage that hasn't been touched for 10 years as well, so I keep trying to persuade him to make it into a mobile bar.
One or the other, yeah.
Yeah, he's not having any of it, but yeah.
You wouldn't get much beer in a Ferrari.
No, so but it would be stylish, wouldn't it? No, that's right.
It'd get there quick.
It would, yeah, yeah. It'd be fresh, wouldn't it, when he got there?
Yeah.
No, but look, Bristol's brilliant. And the other thing I was going to say is, last year, it was really hot, wasn't it? And a couple of the tents there were, you know, borderline sauna-like, really. And so you know, that's obviously a bit of a concern. And I think that was a struggle for the guys with the Lindas, was it was just those brilliant machines as they are were, you know, they really struggled in that sauna-like environment.
Yeah, I mean, the problem with Lindas is they're great if you're only trying to dispense small amounts and in a relatively benign climate.
Yeah.
So, as you say, getting beer out of them when they're steaming hot or freezing cold or any of the kind of temperature extremes that this country suffers, probably on the same day.
Yes, mostly, yeah.
They just can't cope with it. No. So, and again, you can get them freezing up or pouring mainly foam if you've got too extreme temperature.
Yeah.
So, like I say, we went for the more, not professional necessarily, but the more stable,
robust, let's call it.
Robust platform of having this more bore thing built.
Awesome.
And it's going to be lovely. It's going to be branded up. We'll have some amazing graphics from
Gavin. How many beers are you expecting to pour there?
Over the weekend, we'll be pouring all seven.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah.
So, and then maybe more even by the time we get to London.
London, I kind of want to do something special for it. I don't know what yet, but I mean, obviously, you know, we won Raise the Bar 2 years ago.
That's right. Yeah.
So Bristol will be the first official event we do with the new core range.
Right.
Obviously, Manchester is our hometown. It's where we're from.
So you want to do
But then London, I think we will do something special, whether it be a ridiculous stout or another dipper or something, I don't know. But we will do something special for it.
Brilliant. Well, it's a great opportunity for everybody to reacquaint themselves with Twisted Wheel and, you know, catch up with you guys, but also with your beer range as it is in 2024. So no, I'm thrilled that you're going to be on that circuit this year. It's the perfect chance to get around the country. Obviously, it's sad that there's no Scottish stop on that tour this year, but
it is, and the good thing about Manchester is we've still got a group from the original Twisted Wheel with all the staff on WhatsApp.
Oh, nice.
So they're all making an appearance over that weekend, Manchester weekend, and working the bar.
Oh, cool.
Obviously not the owners.
No.
The actual staff.
The people who did the work.
So we'll be all there over the course of the weekend.
That's nice. So people that have got those relationships going back a ways, we'll be able to catch those people up. Yeah, brilliant. Excellent. Beyond We Are Beer then, what else you got going on, Justin?
Very few plans at the moment, to be quite honest. We've got, obviously, some local events that will be happening throughout the summer.
Yeah.
And then around our launch weekend, it's obviously Cambridge Beer Festival.
I
believe the largest camera festival in the UK at the moment.
I've never been, but I kind of feel like I need to go there at some stage. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, most of the team from Jolly Good Beer were acquired through the staffing at Cambridge Beer Festival.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So we used to run our Big Linda Bar there as well.
And the volunteers do an amazing job at these big events, don't they? Yeah,
absolutely. So we used to run a 22 beer direct draw chilled keg bar there.
Yeah.
When I was at Jolly Good, so
nice.
We're looking forward to. We haven't actually managed to get beer on the festival itself this year.
No.
But fortunately, myself and two colleagues have got a pub just around the corner.
And what's that called?
Called the Radigund, or the Rad now.
The Radigund, yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Which is on King Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to have the all seven of the...
I was going to say, you'll surely be pouring the Twisted Wheel beers there, not just that weekend, but in the long term, I guess. Yeah.
During the festival, because... Yeah. It, like I say, coincides with the launch weekend.
And so that's also the Maybach holiday, yeah.
Absolutely.
Wow, it's a lot going on that weekend, isn't it? Well, that's exciting. Yeah, brilliant. In terms of beer events in and around this site, I mean, you know, we spoke about a bit earlier on about the brew experience, which will be amazing. I'd just love to participate in that. But are there other events that are going to happen down here that you can talk about?
So the plan is we do want to do something along the lines of Finefest.
Right.
It won't happen this year.
No, it can't. I think it's 2025.
We've completely missed the boat, but obviously we want to do that around harvest as well.
Mm.
So there's quite a few logistics involved in parking, camping, etc., etc. The plan is to have bands and stuff. So it's like up, as you just turned into Bugglesnon Road, there's a field on your right-hand side that we can have car parking there.
Nice.
They've got a field just below the farm manager's house that we can have for bands and stuff.
Brilliant.
There's our field just below the decking that we can put tents and stuff. Yeah. So hopefully next year during harvest, we should have a festival going that
fabulous.
Could be... Yeah, quite a special event.
Yeah.
We should call it Harvest Fest.
It's got a bit of a ring to it, that, hasn't it? Yeah.
No one's done it before.
No, not for a while, anyway. Excellent. Well, that's super exciting. You know, I think you've got to make the most of this space. I just think people come here. You know, you're immersing yourself in the beer scene, aren't you? Surrounded by the hops and the brewery, and it's just it's lovely. I think anybody that cares about beer needs to come down and check this out. Next beer, and this is the we're on to the Dipper version of. So this is Last Light. So I mean, you pretty much told us what it is already, haven't you? I mean, you know, it's fabulous. It has. I mean, I suppose it's only 1.8% stronger, so you wouldn't expect it to taste vastly different. But it's absolutely delicious in its own way. It drinks very light for 8%, no doubt. But you know, lovely hop bill again. It's just a beautiful flavour presentation. I'm really pleased with this.
Thank you.
Any closing comments on that? Or
no, I don't think so. It's like I say, it was just.
These are core beers for you. A First Light and Last Light, or not?
No, they're not. No, they were just special. They will be coming back at some point.
Yeah.
The name actually, Gavin, our designer, came up with. Mm. It is a song of some description.
Okay.
First Light, Last Light.
Beats me.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got well weird taste in general, but in music definitely. He did tell me at the time what it was for.
It's a nice, it's like a bookend kind of thing going on. It's not a bad pair of names at all.
No, it's the graphic designers for you, isn't it? Yeah.
So you're not gonna have so in your core range, what's the strongest beer?
The Hoodoo, which is 6.5.
Okay. Which is fair. I mean, look, Dipper doesn't belong in the core range, of course. That's a stupid question, really.
Yeah,
you know?
Not anymore.
But how often would you be brewing Dippers, do you think?
We want to try and get a special out every month.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'd say in terms of Dippers, it's probably once a quarter, maybe. It all depends on the demand and how quickly we sell them, obviously.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, that one has sold really well. We've done it in 12-litre polykegs and 20-litre polykegs.
Okay.
And it has sold. I think we've got a few left, but there's not much left.
This is absolutely. I think it's a lovely beer. Yeah, I'm really appreciating this.
They're actually available still through Cellar and Debria.
Hey,
a 10% discount. 10%
discount. Wow. I mean, it's tasting super fresh to me. I mean, it's been brewed for a month, is it, or what's the?
It'll be about 8 weeks older than that, actually,
Would it? Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, it's delicious. You know, you could not say that this is a beer that she's got any age on it at all. I think it's lovely, yeah. What about, you mentioned earlier on stouts. Have you got, plans to do any barrel aging, or?
We do have a couple of barrels in cold store.
Because, you've got, This is another beauty of this facility, is I'm sure you could find little corners, stacks and barrels, couldn't you?
We have. I can't tell you what's in it.
No.
It's extremely special.
Is it?
Let's put it that way.
Right.
But yeah, I'm not allowed to tell you what's in it.
Okay.
The plan is to do some more. The next time we brew a stout, we did a stout at Twisted Wheel just before the big bad evil men walked in.
Yeah.
And that was That's Amore, which was a tiramisu stout.
Oh.
So that was aged on vanilla, cocoa nibs, had a shed load of lactose, and that was a beautiful beer. So I've been itching to do that again.
You also mentioned on a previous edition of this podcast your peppermint imperial.
Sergeant Peppermint.
Any sign that coming back?
That could come back. Mm. Yeah, I mean, I've still got the recipe sat there. That was a lovely beer as well. There was also, I might as well come out with it. You know when you've been mangled.
Yes.
That needs to make an appearance. I've still got the design of that with the Tango Man hidden behind the letterbox. Yeah, there's all sorts we can do. I mean, the sky's the limit. It's just down to certain people to go out and get the beer sold.
Of course it is, yeah. Do you not fancy the brief of selling Sergeant Peppermint then, Justin?
No.
Oh, mate, I tell you, there's a market for that.
It was liquid aero. It was beautiful.
Oh, only 12%. Surely you can move that, can't you?
Of course I can.
Fair enough. Let's move on, gents. I know as we speak today, you've not got any beer packaged, but a couple of weeks' time, where's the best place going to be to get your hands on some Twisted Wheel beers?
Well, I'd say here.
Yeah.
Obviously, the whole lineup will be here.
I'll tell you what we didn't mention was what you got actually pouring in the tap room. So how many cask and keg lines have you got?
So we've got 4 cask lines, 20 keg lines.
Wow.
15 of the keg lines we're trying to keep as our products.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saying 15. By the time the new core range come out, it'll be 15 because we've kept some free for gluten-free beers.
Yeah, you got 3 or 4 ciders on in there as well.
Ciders, non-alcoholics.
Yeah.
So the idea is we will have gluten-free beers with the new core range, so the Opus and the Bella Vita are both gluten-free.
Yeah, good.
Non-alcohol, I've tried brewing them before. I've never done one that I'm happy with, so unless we collab with Mash Gang or something who actually know how to do them properly, I don't intend to do it.
Quite right.
So yeah, there'll be a couple of alcohol free ones on, and then like you say, the ciders.
I think, you know, look, it's important, especially, you know, we mentioned earlier on, you are slightly off the beaten track down here, so you know there's going to need to be a designated driver for most people visiting here, isn't there? So you know, you've got to have some presentable drink choices for those people, otherwise you're spiting yourself, aren't you, by not attracting their crowd.
Yeah.
So I understood. But look, I 20 keg beers, four cask lines, brilliant. I mean, a great choice of beer, and very exciting times. We'll talk about beer releases. So you've got your 7 core beers, we've mentioned those already. You got any specials? So you've not brewed any specials yet, but have you got anything?
Yeah, we're going at McCann's, if that's all right. Yeah.
Please, yeah.
Yeah, we've got 4 McCann's beers as well, which are more traditional.
Yeah, so it's got 4 cask McCann's beers,
Yeah, 4 cask, well, 3 cask and 1 lager.
Okay, right, yeah.
More traditional beer, using as much hops from
literally almost within the line of sight kind of thing.
Exactly It's using hops from the farm.
And it, really nicely, these beers are named mostly after the hop fields where the hops came from. So you know, lovely
absolutely.
Sort of local credentials there. Yeah,
yeah. Like, each of the names is one of the hop gardens that's on the Hookins farm. So it's as close to made here as we can possibly make
it. Very, very low beer miles, which we appreciate. Yeah.
So there's a pale ale, a best bitter, and an ESB as the core range. Then again, as with Twisted Wheel, maybe we'll do some specials over time.
Well, that's the thing, is you're obviously, and you're a skilled cask brewer yourself as well on the Twisted Wheel side. So, you know, you're intending to continue to produce Twisted Wheel cask here?
Yeah, Twisted Wheel cask is still available.
Yeah.
So out of the 4 cask lines in the tap room, one will always be Twisted Wheel.
Nice.
The other 3 will be McCann's.
Yeah.
the majority of the range, ABV and style permitting, we'll still be casking beer, because obviously I love, as I've said previously, I love cask, and I think Twisted Wheel in cask is really special. So that'll never go.
No.
McCann's is, like I say, it's more traditional. Keith, the owner, wanted three beers that were extremely traditional, using hops from the farm, and that's what we've come up with. And for me, they are really good traditional beers.
So we spoke about this before we started recording, but it's probably worth mentioning. So that, you know, as it stands today, the hop crop is traditional Kent hops right now. So it's EKG, it's Fahul's, Goldings, whatever, you know.
Challenger, Pilgrim.
Traditional Kent hops. Nothing wrong with that at all. You know, these are great hops, and we've been drinking their beer from those hops for centuries in this country. But obviously, you know, I asked you the question, I think people will be interested in the answer on this podcast, is, you know, are you going to be able to sort of lean on the hop farm a bit to start growing some craftier hop varieties?
We actually have, on the outside of the tap room where the current outside seating is, we have 6 planting beds.
These are like raised beds around the sort of terrace.
Yeah, and they actually have a hop growing in them, and that is an experimental hop, which Ross kindly helped us plant and showed us how to put the strings up and everything, and he comes around every Friday night and has a pint and checks that there's no weeds growing out of them, and then we get a lecture on a Monday morning if they're not weeded and fed and watered. So, but he's actually got a set amount set aside, because, obviously, commercially, it takes 4 years to get the hops to grow to where they're commercially viable.
Right.
So every year he basically has to let them grow, let them die, let them grow, let them die, and then hopefully year four they should be harvestable.
Right.
Whereas because we've got those 6 growing beds, we'll lose this first year.
Yeah.
So this August we'll lose it.
Yeah.
But next year there should be enough cones on it to get a brew out of it.
That's exciting, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's exciting for all of us, you know.
But you know, look, apart from that, and that's great in itself, but anybody that comes to have a drink here, you know, from whatever, June, July onwards, is going to be surrounded by hop plants sitting out there on the terrace. And that's lovely in itself, isn't it?
But when I say, you know, we're going to have them ready for next year and we might get a brew, people listening to this podcast who are home brewers might come and nick them off the vines.
No. You're going to need security on the terrace, aren't you, next summer?
Yeah.
Good point.
Please don't pick them.
Excellent. All right, gents. So coming into the home straight then, at this stage every week, I ask the guest to give a shout out to the little guy. By that, I mean, I'd like you to mention one or more local to you beer businesses. Now, in your case, Justin, that can be Bristol or Cambridge, I guess. In your case, Ant, that could be Northwest or Sittingbourne. So pick your locality. But really what I'm looking for here is independent beer businesses, and that could be another brewery, a tap room, a pub, a bottle shop, even a restaurant or a cafe. But independent businesses doing a great job promoting independent craft beer. I never tire of mentioning business like that on this podcast. So who'd like to go first with a shout out?
I'm going to give a shout out to the King's Head in Bristol.
Nice.
Which is a pub that has a unique 1930s interior in it, and nearly disappeared at the end of last year.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been taken over by Good Chemistry, a local brewery.
Oh yeah, great.
And it's going great guns again. So that's my shout out.
Fantastic. Well, good for Good Chemistry, and I'd love to hear that. Yeah.
I'd probably say Old Dairy in Tenterden.
Yeah.
Obviously, they've been through a very tough time. They are my previous employers.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, basically the brewery went bankrupt. A investor came in and bought the actual tap room. Out of administration, so the tap room is now still going. It's really, really busy. They have bands on all the time. They've got street food vendors. Basically, there's a couple of destinations in Tenterden. One of them's us, the other's Old Dairy.
Awesome.
So,
all right then.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. The Tenterden Beer Mile is in its formative stages. But
you can actually cut across the hop fields to get to it.
Can you really?
Yeah.
Wow. There we go. Nice.
Not that I'd advise you do it.
No.
You might get shot.
Yeah, you might get lost. Either way, good. All right, thank you for that. So, gents, this is slightly alternative, but we're at the wrap-up question. And you've been on, this is your third, you are the first guest, well, I should have said this earlier on, you're the first person to be on this podcast three times. So you should, I don't know whether you should feel honoured or imposed upon from one of those two.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't know. So I'm racking my brains to try and figure that out. But anyway, the point is, you've already had my wrap-up question and my alternate wrap-up question. So I was on the drive down this afternoon, I was thinking, shit, I need a new wrap-up question. So here's what I've come up with. And I'm not actually sure this is very good yet, but we'll go with it. The new wrap-up question, third edition, is, and I'm back to the a derivative of the first wrap-up question, so I need to know, what would be your ultimate happy hour? But it needs to be drinking a non-beer alcoholic drink, and the circumstances go with that. So you know, I was thinking about what mine is, and I might even tell you mine in a minute. But the point is, so you can't drink beer. You've got to choose a non-beer alcoholic drink, and then describe the circumstances in which you would like to drink that, and you can, and then also who you'd be drinking it with. So it's still three parts of the question. And you can have some thinking time, and I'm going to ask you in a minute, Justin. So you're both on the hook here.
I already know.
I'm glad you do. Can you answer them while I think?
I'll go first, then. Yeah, I'd be drinking a classic dry martini.
Okay.
And I'd be drinking it in a bar called Gin and Juice in Bristol, which is on Park Street.
Nice.
Very, very cool place.
Yeah.
Used to be a jeweller's, but now we've converted into a bar.
Wow.
That's got some incredible cocktails and a massive selection of gin.
Mm.
And I'd be drinking it with my sister, who also lives locally. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
All right, good answer. Happy with that.
Right, okay. Porn star martini.
Okay.
At the Mullium Cove Hotel in Cornwall, overlooking the sea.
Mm.
And if I don't say with my other half, I'm going to get shot.
You're going to be in trouble. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
So with my other half.
Good answers both. And yeah, I think that's a nice wrap to this conversation. So yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure catching up with you again, Ant. Justin, great to meet you. I'm super excited by literally what we're still sitting here looking out at. I feel like this is, you know, this is a craft beer experience. You know, I've said this on this podcast before. A few years ago, I read an interview with JC, who owns Trillium in you know, Greater Boston. Yeah. And he, a few years ago, in this interview I was reading, said, you know, we're not in the business of selling craft beer. We are selling a craft beer experience. And I feel like this is that. You know, this is much more than just the beer. This is the, you know, it's the hops, it's the view, it's the, you know, the historic tap room, it's the opportunity to come and actually be here rather than just pass through and have a beer. You know, that I think counts for a lot, and I'm super excited to see this place hopefully really thrive in you know, Kent is a great place for tourists anyway. I feel like this has more chance of succeeding right here than almost anywhere else in the UK. So that, you know, that gives me great confidence that this is going to be a big success. So yeah, it's a privilege to come and experience it just before it launches, and I can't wait to see how it thrives this year and beyond.
Thank you.
Thank you.